This is the Electronic Intifada Newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman, Associate Editor at the Electronic Intifada. It's day 54 of the ceasefire. Here's a brief summary of some of the latest developments this week in Palestine. In Gaza, Israel's closures of all crossings has continued into the 12th day. Palestinians are reporting severe water and food shortages as Israel uses starvation as, quote, a weapon of genocide, as the rights group Al-Haq has stated. Al-Haq added that, quote, Israel's decision to reimpose a total blockade of all humanitarian aid entering the Gaza Strip, particularly during the month of Ramadan, is yet another example of Israel violating the ceasefire agreement and provides further proof of its manifest intent to eliminate Gaza's population by creating conditions of life calculated to bring about their destruction, in continuing breach of provisional measures of the International Court of Justice. The Palestinian Non-Governmental Network and the Association of International Development Agencies declared in a joint statement that the January 19th ceasefire, quote, provided a brief window for humanitarian operations to scale up. In just 6 weeks, aid organizations delivered food and medicine, reopened medical facilities, and launched vaccination campaigns. During this period, humanitarian actors demonstrated that when they are finally given an enabling environment, they can do their jobs and deliver. And Israel proved that enabling the delivery of aid was only a matter of will, a reality it has now underscored by choosing to use humanitarian aid as a negotiation tactic. The aid group Islamic Relief stated on Tuesday that, quote, aid trucks loaded with food and other essential aid are ready and waiting to enter Gaza, but are being blocked just a few miles from desperate civilians. Gaza's entire infrastructure has been systematically destroyed by Israeli attacks, including its ability to feed itself, the organization added. More than 80% of Gaza's agricultural land and more than two-thirds of its agricultural wells have been damaged or destroyed, and most cattle have been killed, leaving families in Gaza now almost entirely dependent on imported supplies. The scarcity has caused prices in local markets to skyrocket, making even the most basic necessities unaffordable for the poorest and most vulnerable. In a joint press briefing of UN experts in Geneva, Switzerland on Wednesday, Michael Fakhri, the special rapporteur on the right to food, asked, quote, how is Israel able to starve 2.3 million people so quickly and so completely? This is the fastest starvation campaign in modern history. Fakhri added that with Israel's resumption of the blockade on Gaza, quote, this is not a ceasefire by any definition. This is a slowing down of military violence, but an unfolding of death through starvation. He called for immediate and complete economic, political, diplomatic, and cultural sanctions on Israel to stop the genocide, as well as wide-spectrum reparations for Palestinians. Compounding the crisis, Israel's Ministry of Energy and Infrastructure announced that it was immediately cutting off the last remaining supply of electricity to Gaza on March 9th. Gaza has been under a mass electricity blackout since October 2023, except for the South Gaza desalination plant, which was reconnected to the electricity grid in November 2024, according to the United Nations. The UN Children's Fund, UNICEF, said on Tuesday that only 1 in 10 people in Gaza are currently able to access safe drinking water, and that the situation has worsened after Israel's electricity cuts. The Gaza government media office condemned Israel's latest and ongoing cuts to electricity for Gaza. The continuation of these punitive policies against civilians, the media office stated, quote, constitutes a flagrant violation of international humanitarian law and exacerbates the suffering of the residents of Gaza, who are facing the worst humanitarian crisis in history. The denial of entry of construction materials, spare parts, machinery, and alternative energy systems has limited the municipality's ability to find effective solutions, deepening the crisis and threatening the collapse of basic services. Meanwhile, Israel continues to kill Palestinians in Gaza in spite of the apparent ceasefire. On Tuesday, Israeli forces attacked an area near Gaza City, killing at least 6 people in drone strikes near the former Netzarim corridor. An Israeli drone strike killed a Palestinian woman east of Rafah in the south, and Israeli soldiers shot and killed a Palestinian girl in Deir al-Balah in central Gaza, according to Al Jazeera. Israeli forces also opened fire on homes in Khan Yunus. Euromed Human Rights Monitor stated on Tuesday that Israel has killed an average of 3 Palestinians every 24 hours since the ceasefire. Quote, "The ongoing killings by the Israeli army are carried out by snipers and drones, including quadcopter aircraft, which target Palestinian civilians in the Gaza Strip. The deadly attacks frequently occur when residents attempt to return and inspect their damaged homes near the so-called buffer zone imposed by Israel along the Strip's northern and eastern borders," Euromed said. The Rafah governorate has faced the most Israeli targeting since the ceasefire, the human rights group added. Our contributor Abu Bakr Abed reported that Israeli troops in western Rafah were firing at several areas and in places where Palestinians were gathering on Wednesday, and that Israeli tanks were just a few meters away from displaced families sheltering there. Nearly 3 months after the Kamal Adwan Hospital in the northern city of Beit Lahia was raided and destroyed by Israeli soldiers, medical staff have set up a field hospital in the ruins of the hospital compound and are operating with minimal resources. The head of Kamal Adwan's obstetrics and gynecology department told Al Jazeera that there are severe shortages of medical and non-medical supplies and tools, and they are forced to care for their patients, including pregnant women, with only basic care. The UN Agency for Sexual and Reproductive Health warned this week that the ongoing blockage of aid entry into Gaza is jeopardizing progress made since the ceasefire in terms of expanding sexual and reproductive health services and scaling up gender-based violence prevention, mitigation, and response. The agency also stated that, quote, "compounded by widespread uncertainty and loss, the psychological toll of the last 17 months has further deepened people's vulnerabilities, including the risks of life-threatening pregnancy and childbirth complications." We've published many features on the Electronic Intifada in the last week, but we wanted to highlight excerpts of "Israel Left a Gift of Death in My Home" by our contributor Rasha Abu Jalal in Gaza. Rasha writes that after 15 months of displacement, she returned to her home in Gaza City only to find it in ruins. She found a small metal box in the rubble with Hebrew writing on it and a key. Quote, "I picked up the box trying to determine if it was a can of tuna or beans. My mind didn't comprehend it at first, but something was strange. There was no clear expiration date or brand name. When I lifted the box off the ground, it felt lighter than I thought it should have. This prompted me to recall the text messages that international organizations constantly send to my mobile phone, warning people not to tamper with any suspicious objects among the rubble of houses. At that moment, I felt a shiver run down my spine. I put the box down, then took a step back, then another. I immediately called the toll-free emergency number, 102. I explained the situation to the person who answered, and I was told not to tamper with the box, to leave immediately, and that a mine-clearing team was on its way. It wasn't long before 2 men in uniform, but without any equipment in hand, arrived. They introduced themselves as bomb disposal experts with Gaza's Interior Ministry. Next came the shock that made my legs wobbly. One of the men told me that the box was a trap, a bomb disguised as food. This is a gift of death that the Israeli soldiers left for the children of Gaza, he said. At that moment, I thanked God that I had not taken my 5 children home. I had left them with their grandmother at my parents' house in the Al Nasser neighborhood west of Gaza City. The bomb disposal expert said demining crews had found dozens of mines that were intentionally placed and others that were unexploded ordnance due to a technical malfunction among the rubble of houses. It is believed that there are still hundreds and perhaps thousands of these unexploded ordnances that have not yet been discovered. United Nations data showed that more than 90 people have been killed or injured by unexploded ordnance since the Israeli attacks began in October 2023. That's an excerpt from Rasha Abujalal's feature, Israel Left a Gift of Death at My Home, on electronicintifada.net. Turning to the occupied West Bank, where Israeli army raids and intensified settler colonial violence have continued in the northern region for more than 50 days, and where more than 30 Palestinians have been killed. These images we're showing are from a photo essay by Leila Warah and Wahaj Bani Mufle titled Inside Israel's Brutal Offensive on Jenin. The Palestinian Health Ministry stated that the Israeli army stormed the eastern and western neighborhoods of Jenin City on Tuesday and forced residents in an apartment building to leave, detaining them and interrogating them and ransacking the apartments. Israeli forces killed at least four people in Jenin on Tuesday, including a 58-year-old grandmother identified as Faiza Ibrahim Abu Ghalil. Israeli soldiers have continued to raid and attack areas in Tul Karem and the Nur Shams refugee camp. The Wafa news agency reported that on Wednesday, occupation forces deployed foot patrols around the camp, while bulldozers leveled another stretch of the street adjacent to its entrance, destroying infrastructure and civilians' property. Meanwhile, Tul Karem camp saw a heavy presence of military vehicles and infantry units. Israeli forces set fire to homes in the camp on Tuesday night. On March 7th, Israeli forces also stormed the ancient Al-Nasr Mosque in Nablus, reportedly setting fire to sections of it. The Associated Press reported that when asked for comment, the Israeli military said it was, quote, not aware of any fire set by soldiers at the site. Ghassan Daglas, the governor of Nablus, told the agency that, quote, they want to destroy the West Bank, Gaza, and everything. But the important thing is the resilience, the resistance, and staying on our land. We will rebuild in the early morning. We will restore prayer to Al-Nasr Mosque. And for the second time in a month, Israeli police again raided the educational bookshop in occupied Jerusalem. Police arrested the owner, Imad Muna, and confiscated dozens of books, according to Imad's son, Ahmed. The Wafa news agency reported, quote, after an hour and a half of conducting a raid of the shop, once again using Google Translate to discern the meaning of the titles on the shelves, the occupying forces confiscated dozens of books, arrested the owner, and took him to the Israeli police station on Salahuddin Street. They closed the shop door and took the keys to the bookshop and refused to explain what law had been violated or the reason for Muna's arrest. No arrest warrant or search warrant was provided. Included in the stack of books that were seized were authored by Ilan Pappe, Joe Sacco, Noam Chomsky, Jonathan Cook, Stephen Salaita, my colleague Ali Abunima, and myself. The Israeli police told media that they had, quote, received a report from a caller who stated that he had observed books containing inciting content at a bookstore in Jerusalem. Imad was eventually released and most of the books were returned except for three, according to the family. The Israeli police said that they have, quote, initiated a review of the books and based on the findings, a determination will be made on whether to refer the matter to the state attorney's office for further investigation into the suspected sale of inciting materials. Finally, as we always do, we wanted to share images of people expressing determination and resilience across Palestine. In Gaza, Samih Al-Madun, a young musician in Gaza, performs the song Yama Hadudarna by artist Omar Al-Abdalat while sitting atop the rubble. The lyrics of the song include, O mother, they destroyed our home, my brother's and my neighbor's home. Don't be sad, O mother, we have gained more stones.
يمّا هدّوا دارنا ودار أخويا وجارنا لا تزعلي يا ممتي زادت لنا حجارنا يمّا هدّوا دارنا دار أخويا وجارنا.
And that's it for the news roundup. As always, go to electronicintifada.net for much more, especially to read our new features by our brave writers in Gaza. You've been listening to the Electronic Intifada's newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman. Want to hear more? Check out our live stream with interviews, reports, and analysis, along with print articles, podcasts, and more at electronicintifada.net. Produced by Nora Barrows-Friedman, Tamara Nassar, and Pierre Loiselle.